Hello and welcome to another episode of the FOMO Cast. I'm Chris, here with Tim. Say hello, Tim.
Hello, Tim.
We got a lot. We got not that much because it's how we roll. First thing, we're going to jump right into it. We got a full Deadpool and Wolverine trailer. What's different about this one is we did get most of what the gist of what the movie was going to be about. We just got a lot more like teasers of like who might be in it. We got a couple more characters we've seen who we've seen in other ones. And what I really like is they didn't do that thing like with Marvel where you had a character who was in one universe and also in Marvel universe. And they'll make a slight change to the character to make them look the same but different. The characters we were seeing look identical to what the last time we seen them. So it looks fantastic. The premise looks amazing. Hugh Jackman looks fantastic. And I'm beyond excited for it.
Right. No, it looks like and with any type of Deadpool trailers, it's, you always get a good comedic, funny type trailer with Easter eggs all throughout it. And especially with Hugh Jackman reprising his role as Wolverine, it should be good. And you kind of get, I think doesn't he drop like an F-bomb or something in it? I mean, there's
I think they were saying this is gonna be the first rated R for Disney, not under the like Touchstone label and stuff.
Right, correct. Yeah, that they were, because everyone was wondering, all right, is it, now that Disney has MCU, is it going to be an R rating? And if not, well, it's not gonna be that great. And they said no, it'll still be it, so that's good. But you know, you don't really see Hugh Jackman kind of, you know, cussing that much or whatnot, or Wolverine, I guess I should say Wolverine, using that type of language. But Deadpool movie should be awesome. Be curious to see how like the pre-tickets and, you know, the first couple weekends go.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be going to it. I'll probably see if Mr. Stranger wants to go see it, because this is definitely an in-theater one. And I think some of the hopes we had, you know how we talked about it a little bit, about what we hoped, you know, like the Deadpool clicking the mouse and dropping X-Men into the Disney file. Like, hopefully that, you know, something cool, funny like that will happen. And we've already seen... it's kind of cool because you see scenes from different movies. So there's stuff connected, and I'm really excited. Excuse me. What we did learn, though, is that this Wolverine is not the Wolverine that we know currently. He even says, like, there's a part of the trailer where he's like, you're her Wolverine, died a hero, or whatever. Like, so they're referring to the Wolverine we saw in Logan. So there's a lot going on, and I'm excited for it.
Right. And the thing is you have people coming over from the X-Men genre that want to see Wolverine, and then you have just your normal, you know, MCU universe, and then obviously you have the Deadpool crowd.
Yeah, exactly. It's something, you know, this will be the, like you said, this is their first time going into it. So, I mean, in all reality, there could be some stuff where, you know, some people are obviously not going to be happy with it. But I do think everything that I've seen so far has been sticking to the traditional Deadpool way that he does everything. So I am excited for that.
Right.
Next thing we have is a judge has ruled that Disney must pay over $300,000 for effects used by Beauty and the Beast. We mentioned this not too long ago. And it was kind of, you know, expected. A lot of times people, like I've talked about it before, companies I've worked for have had competitors who, it's a sales-based company in the state of California. you can basically either pay your people commission and a salary, or if you pay them hourly in commission, you can actually make it to where if they work overtime, if they make any commission on that overtime, they don't get the both. They can pick one. And so what they would do is they would say you're working overtime, take some of your money off the top, steal some money from you, and they would wait for someone to sue. And basically they would have that money set aside to do that. Well, you got to figure if they've done this, if Disney has done this in multiple different movies, this $300,000 is nothing to them because they probably have made multiple millions of dollars. It's almost like floating the cash.
Yeah.
They stole the effects or sold the technology, didn't pay them for it, you know.
Right. And the other thing is, I mean, Disney probably has a legal fund in general because whether it's the parks or their, you know, their own employees or, you know, something like this, where it's like, oh, you know what, let's use it. Let's see what happens. If anything happens, you know, say they come after us for $1 million and we say, hey, we'll give you $300,000, $250,000, settle out of court, call it good. And they're like, boom, we got away with it, because I'm sure that movie made them how much already in profit. So, okay, we'll pay you $250,000, call you good. And, you know, basically we paid you off instead of saying, hey, can we do it? Cause then they might say, oh, we want a piece of the revenue share or something like that, where it's like, eh, no. And you see it with companies all the time. And one in your area and one that you used to work for, they said, oh, hey, you need to build this plant for wastewater or whatnot. And they say, how much is it going to be, and go through all that? No, we'll just keep paying the fees and call it good. I mean, until you force our hand, we'll just keep paying the fees and call it good. And that's what a lot of people do, because they just don't force their hand into it.
Right.
Or it's like, okay, are you going to force us to it? Okay, well, now you have a lawsuit on your hands because that's not what we signed up for, or whatever it is. So, yeah.
We knew they were probably going to get paid, because there's ways, like, people don't know, there's a lot of ways you can track visual effects in a movie or show. So there's ways, people put signatures in there. And I know if they have some sort of raw footage, like, from effects they've put in, whether it be green screened or CGI, there's a way to find that. So,
right. Yeah. Everyone puts their stamp on it.
Exactly. Or has
their stamp on it.
Next, a judge has, a Space Mountain movie moving along with new writers. I don't know, man. Like, I feel like after Jungle Cruise, why?
Now they're making stuff that wasn't IP, and now they're making it IP, which usually it's the other way around, is if you're going to put something in the park, it's like nowadays, if you're going to put any ride or anything in the park, you need to make sure that people are going to come to it. How do you do that? You put something that has a good IP behind it, and not, you know, which stinks, because then you don't get any original content from it.
But I mean, I do like the idea, like with Tiana's Bayou. I get why they're doing it. It makes it more interactive. 90%, probably 99% of the people who rode Splash Mountain, no idea what the story was about. Nothing at all.
Right.
They were going for the drop, you know.
Right. And the name of the ride has nothing to do with the IP it was based on. Absolutely nothing. You look at every other ride and it's in the name.
Right. And like Space Mountain, I always remembered, like, because it was legitimately, until this last time I went on it in January, I hadn't been on Space Mountain regularly in probably 10 years. Because every time I've gone, it's either been Season of the Force. Because I remember there was a couple of years there where they had an extended period of time that it was Star Wars themed. Especially when they did it. And then they had the Ghost Galaxy for Halloween. And so I forgot that it was just like super, it was very 80s, very 70s, 80s-ish feeling when you're going through it.
Right.
And it's a lot of fun. The sound effects are amazing. But like you said, things all change, and now they're going with a movie about it. So I don't know if they're going to take it along the lines of action adventure or maybe something comedic. I don't know. Cause Haunted Mansion has been more comedic style both times they've done it. And then obviously Jungle Cruise was action with some comedy. Right. And so I'm assuming I'm taking bets that The Rock's going to be in it.
How do you do the plot line? It's Space Mountain.
Dude, I don't know.
There's no plot line to the ride besides your rocket ship going through outer space.
Right.
So, I mean, there's been hundreds, if not thousands, of movies about just outer space in general.
Yeah.
So I don't know. How do you make it? And then the thing is, you know, it's going to, if it does well, they'll make it into a franchise.
Oh, not even just that. Next thing you know, we're going to have Big Thunder Mountain Railroad.
Right, exactly. At least that one has somewhat of a plot line.
I was actually just thinking that. I am not smart on that one because technically, yes, right. They actually have a theme.
Right, but I mean, on this, I don't know. I'll be interesting to see it. You know, what would be cool is if they did it like low budget indie type film, like Napoleon Dynamite type deal, and you saw how that took off. I mean, it would kind of be hard to do it because you have all the state-of-the-art equipment, but then you're going to film it, you know, like you don't have that much money or something with it. I'm not saying go through the park and try to sneakily film it on that. I'm just saying, you know, just in that type of, you know, lower budget indie type film.
What if you said it more of like that 80s grainy type video?
Right, like old school home videos.
Yeah. Yes, that would be fun, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to see what the plot line will be.
I mean, the problem is too is when you look at it, you're like, well, since there is no actual plot when it comes to the ride itself, aside from you're going on a space mission. I mean, the possibilities are legitimately endless.
Exactly. Like, yeah. Well, and it says plot details are being kept under wraps.
The problem is that when you had, like, let's say, for instance, Haunted Mansion, what happened with that? Everyone was bashing, you know what I mean? They were bashing that movie because they're like, you guys tried it once. Obviously, Danny DeVito added a little flair to it, so it made it a little bit better, but it's still not the greatest, you know.
Right, exactly. I mean, and on this one, they went for the star-studded cast on it. I think that the Haunted Mansion that everyone's wanting and I doubt we'll ever get it is the Guillermo del Toro one. And doubt we're going to get that, especially since there's already been two already done, and with one not being that great and the other one being better, but still not a huge blockbuster with the cast that was in it.
Here's the problem too. Let's say, for instance, they go through with this and it does look somewhat good, like especially for the Haunted Mansion one. You have the show Wednesday. You have Beetlejuice coming out. There's so much stuff out there that is actual haunted themed that is for the mainstream people. So I don't know, you know, I don't know. We'll see what happens. It's a weird situation because I don't want to bash it because, you know, it could possibly have the chance of being an amazing movie. But I don't see, like you said, when you think, even Haunted Mansion, there's a story while you're going through it.
Yep.
There's a story technically on Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. It's the wildest ride in the wilderness. So while it's not flushed out as much, there's a theme to it. So, I mean, we'll see what happens, you know. And we're not saying we want a Big Thunder Mountain Railroad movie. We're just saying we could understand if you did make one. So don't take that as a suggestion, people.
Right. Well, and you have to wait for The Rock to free up his schedule because he's got to be in. If he's not executive producing some type of series on Disney Plus, he's got to be starring or co-starring in it.
That is true. Next, We have Aaron LaBerge is exiting ESPN to work for Penn Entertainment Sports Betting. The sports betting side of all that stuff, I'm not going to say that I'm like against it. I just know that, like, for those that don't know, Penn Entertainment was the one that owned Barstool Sports. They owned them outright. They made the deal to sell to Dave Portnoy for $1 because they were losing their butt. And the reason why they were doing that was because Penn was looking legitimately just to make money off of the betting part. But they were trying to influence. I watched the whole thing about it. And what happened was, is they were trying to influence the blogs too much. And for those that don't know, Dave Portnoy does not schedule your stuff. You put content out when you put content out. It is what it is. But if you try and do something that's not, that's something that's shady, that's not good for content. Like, people have done dumb stuff, but they're funny, and Dave makes content out of it. So it works. Like Frank the Tank. Frank is, they say, is the hardest working one out of all of them. He has articles and everything out. He's a diehard Mets fan. He uses that misery to write his stuff. He's very knowledgeable about different sports stuff, and he's quirky. But like they had something where one of the guys, I can't remember his name, but he does the TikTok that Barstool always shares him talking over, and he covers all media, like entertainment, sports, everything. And he was laughing because he goes, he had no followers on TikTok until Dave kicked him off one of the radio shows, and he started going to there, and now they go to him for content on TikTok. So as Penn was coming in, they were regulating it and trying to make everything more uniform, and that's not the way. They're like the pirate ship. That was their thing. They were the pirate ship. They're not allowed at NFL games. They're blacklisted from all these different things. Now they have a bowl game named after them, all this stuff. Well, Penn was like, this is not going to work. And I think a lot of people were like, the betting thing doesn't work if you don't have a huge reach. Barstool is very, very, very tied to Chicago and New York. They cover little things here and there. They have fandoms, but they are very tied to Chicago and New York. So I think what ESPN is doing is they're trying to bring in their people who do betting on ESPN, put them over into the Penn Entertainment sports betting, but it is under the name of ESPN Bet. So it's still ESPN. So while he's exiting ESPN, he's going to the parent company over ESPN Bet, because I believe Penn, that's why Barstool doesn't do betting anymore, is because they moved into that realm of it.
Right, exactly. And it says right here, he'll join sports betting company Penn Entertainment as CTO beginning July 1 of this year. He'll continue to work with Disney on ESPN Bet, a rebranding of Penn's Barstool Sports book. So he's still going to be there. And he was president and chief technology officer, obviously CTO, of Disney Entertainment and ESPN. So it's not that he was just ESPN. He was Disney Entertainment. So, I mean, which is, that's everything outside of the parks, you know? So he had 20 years with the company. So he's going over to Penn, which I'm sure Penn is strategically either talking to people or picking up people, or, hey, you know, how's it going? You know, come over here and kind of help us out with it. So, but yeah.
And I mean, 20 years with the company, that's the thing too. When you think about it, it's 20 years with the company. Maybe they were giving him an ultimatum, because some people, once they get set in a way, they're like, you know, I mean, why work harder when you've been there that long? You know, they're going to fire you.
Right. Yeah. he could see the writing on the wall, and then going over to, you know, or be the guy that, hey, I'll help, you know, bridge this with ESPN and Penn and whatnot, and kind of going over that. I've been here. I know what's going on. And then instead of, you know, Disney paying me, I'll just have Penn paying me or whatever.
Right.
But he said it was a personal decision driven by the needs of my family.
Okay. So probably paying them more money.
Exactly.
Yeah. And lastly, in the regular entertainment pile, Apple is reportedly slashing the Apple Vision Pro shipments due to unexpectedly low demand. Now, I want to try them out. I've seen what they do. They look pretty awesome. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, I was pretty shocked at how cool they are.
Right.
But, like, they're $3,500.
That's the thing is, I think even though how much technology and everything is packed into that and what, you know, how it brings that augmented reality, you know, to, I mean, right in front of your face and how you pick and pull and drag stuff. I mean, I saw a guy using it on the golf course and it was awesome. But like you said, yes, all of that is awesome. But like anything, it comes with the price point. And the other thing is it's and it kind of has to be this way just how it is it's big and bulky as well.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm sure, you know, this is going to be the way of the future. You've already seen theme park rides have some type of VR augmented reality, whatever, you know, go to Universal Hollywood's ride, the Bowser ride, and you got goggles that you put on,
right?
On it, and I think you're going to see a lot more of it. And shoot, there was even, I think SeaWorld somewhere has the goggles on the roller coaster, but it's like you're underwater, and kind of I can't remember if you're an orca or something like that swimming on it, and it uses that so you're immersed in that atmosphere, but you're physically riding a roller coaster, which is right. All, I mean, which that is awesome. If you could take you out of reality and immerse you into something else and still have the, you know, the feeling of that, you know, of that roller coaster and getting really immersed in it. I mean, it's awesome.
But I think the problem they're having with what they're doing here is that they didn't market it as like an experience. They marketed it as something that you could use while you're going to work. You're riding the train, you know what I mean? You're riding the train to work in the Bay Area, and all of a sudden, this is what's going on. So I get it.
Exactly. And I think the other thing is say me and you are riding a train or whatnot, and you see a guy across the way put one of these bad boys on, and he's sitting there because, I mean, you do movement to move stuff around, and that's how you interact with it. Mm-hmm. He's going to look like a crazy person. He's going to look, you know, kind of, hey, is that guy? Even though you know what's going on, but you're looking at him, it's like, dude, he looks like a weirdo with that because you have the big glasses on, almost like what's his name from LeVar Burton from Star Trek.
Yep.
And then you're sitting there doing these hand movements. It's like, what in the heck is going on here? Where it's not like a, you know, you have a pair of like aviator shades or something, or like the Google Glass that had that. No, granted, you know, smaller and did less things, where this, you could have a lot of things on, but I mean, it's a good concept. And they were kind of the first ones to market with it, which you knew it was going to be either like Apple or Google or one of the big tech companies to push this out. But
yep.
I think this is me personally. I think the price point drove people away. And who knows is if, oh, that feature is awesome. Oh, that's a monthly subscription on top of that. Oh, that's a, you know, another monthly subscription on top of it. Oh, that's not compatible with it yet. That was just a beta that, you know, they showed. So, you know, I don't know. And shoot, I mean, didn't we just get the, what's the VR goggles? Didn't we just get that like not that long ago?
Well, the Oculus Rift just became kind of more affordable for regular people. It's like $350, $400. Right. So a lot of people, that was like the thing. They were like, this is kind of crazy. Like, you know,
yep.
Why would you spend that much money when you could just go get one of those for the time being, because they are going to go down in price.
Yep. Oh yeah, exactly. Because with the Oculus, that uses your phone, correct?
It technically can use your phone. You could use a PC or anything like that. You could use several different things. But I mean, they have the PlayStation one. They got a lot of them. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. Yeah, because it's got, well, I guess it's not the Oculus, it's the Meta Quest. The Meta Quest 2 at basically 200, Meta Quest 3 at 500, and then the Meta Quest Pro at $1,000.
Which that one, though, that one is actually like, they have people that work in there. That's what's crazy. Like, there's people who put them on at their desk, and they work like a job doing that.
Right.
That's insane. That's crazy what people can do now, man.
Oh yeah. But yeah, and I mean, and you have, I mean, you got to get, okay, so it looks like the Pro, the $1,000 ones, doesn't use your phone or anything.
No, it's a separate thing, yeah.
I bet you the 3 uses the phone just how it looks. Oh, no, that doesn't. Does that not use the phone either?
Really?
It doesn't look like it. Really, why can't I see pictures of it? Yeah, no, it doesn't look like that. It uses uses the phone.
Really? Now, my only thing would be, like, is it really worth that money? Like, it, to me, it might be. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
Because there is, like, I'm not going to lie, it's going to change. I remember when people said that if you use drones for doing real estate, you were stupid. And now they have full-on companies. That's what they do.
Yeah. It's like, you want, hey, I want to sell my house. Okay. Give me a week. And obviously it comes back and it looks like a movie premiere of your house.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's actually, I know someone that's like what they do. Their thing is they basically produce, it's basically like a movie. They make videos and it's like, oh yeah, let's go through your house and let's see this and see that. And it's insane. And I'm trying to look it up. And they're the Meta, right?
Yes. Meta Quest.
The Meta Quest.
Yeah, and none of them look like that they use the phone. It has just 2 eye holes in it.
It says advanced all-in-one virtual reality headset, 128 gig. Oh, that's right. I forgot. So it also, you have data for it too. I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's interesting. So then what was the one that used, wasn't it the Oculus that used the phone on it?
I believe, like, that was the first one.
When they first came out, yeah. But
yeah, I don't know. Oh,
there you go.
Yeah. Also, I wanted to mention too, this is what's crazy. So because we have a podcast, I get emails from like all these different things. So there's this one, it's called Podcast Tonight, and they send out a newsletter. And a lot of times they try and get you to join them, to try and do stuff with them. They want you to join their network or whatever. And it says like they have podcasttonight.com. And basically if you join, you can actually get reviews and all this kind of stuff. But apparently, this is crazy. I didn't even know this was a thing. But the very first article, like, they have good content that you can cover. But iHeartMedia podcast workers have filed a labor management complaint against management because they're not letting them campaign. They've been in a labor contract negotiation for 2 years. And they says that they're not letting them do what they need to do. It's insane. I just wanted to mention that because
that's not good.
Yeah. yeah, it's insane. It's literally crazy. So yeah, so they podcast and let you get reviewed, all that kind of stuff. It's a lot of fake stuff. So like if Tim and I contacted like the bottom 10% of odd podcasts that release weekly like we did, we could probably create our own network and we could, you know, probably do the same kind of thing. It's kind of a pyramid scheme type thing. Get all people to pay in. Everyone has to review your podcast 5 stars, listen to it, boost your listening. We're happy with what we do. We have fun. But I thought I would mention that for the striking workers at iHeartMedia. But also, I forgot about this. I didn't add it. But who was it that died? Larry the drunk from The Simpsons was killed off.
Uh-oh.
Yes. So, he basically, he's dead. And Larry the drunk was like, he was the fucking mainstay.
He's always at Moe's.
He's a day one. So I thought we'd mention that too, because it is kind of crazy that he's gone. And like, that's one of the only characters I always remember, you know, from watching it all the time. You know what I mean?
Like, right. Yep.
You know, Homer, you know, Moe, and you knew Larry. So.
Right. Yeah. Especially at Moe's, he was one of the ones that were, that was always in that group at Moe's.
Mm-hmm.
So now there's one less.
And he was one of the plow guys too, wasn't he?
I'm pretty sure
he helped Homer when he was plow. So RIP to him, you know, it's sad. And we'll see what they do, if it's a fake out like they did on Family Guy. Right. Now we're going to the gaming pile. So the GTA 6 trailer 2 is set to release. Oh, today.
Today, yeah.
And it's going to show off the official release date and trailer, official gameplay, but I didn't see anything today.
Nope, there was nothing. They did release a trailer. Because if you go on their website, it has it. That's where it leads.
Yeah, and they haven't updated it since. So we are recording this on Wednesday the 24th, and there are no updates as of right now.
Yeah, it says 2025 on it.
Yeah, we knew that. I mean, there were some people that were getting kind of worried because they started posting some job updates on their job boards that make it seem like there was going to be pushed back a little bit. But yeah, no.
Yeah, no, nothing came out.
Well, keep an eye out. We will share it. We will share it in the group once we do get the info when it does start, and then we'll talk about it next week. But yeah, no update as of now, and they were hyping it up like crazy.
Right. And who knows? It could come out at, you know, 11:59 tonight or something like that. And it seems like they're notorious for kind of saying one thing and then doing something else, with like they did it with Red Dead Redemption 2 type deal as well. So with this one and being how hyped up it is, we'll see.
It's a big in, and they usually, yeah, they usually get a lot of views immediately. They probably won't be Taylor Swift, her new stuff, but they usually do pretty good damage when they release whatever they're releasing.
Right.
Next, this one's bigger than it is. So Fallout 4 had 140,000 concurrent players on Steam after the success of Fallout TV show. They also had 2 million concurrent players on Fallout 76, which was the last one they released. I will say I have watched the show. I do like the show. The show is fantastic. I had so much fun watching it. I've watched the whole thing. I binged it like so fast. I was just like, yeah, I'm not wasting my time on this. I'm like, this is legitimately the best show I've seen in a very long time. So I will say that. And it does tell me, you know, like, it makes sense when you have a great TV show like this and then you have the game do good. They announced season two, I think, the day I finished watching it. It took me 3 days to finish watching the whole thing, and I was binging it hard. Like, I was telling the wife, go across the street to your parents' house because I want to watch a couple more episodes, because they're long. They're not short. They're right about an hour each. And the way it flows is fantastic. But
right. And the funny thing is so I'm on Steam right now, and it's the fourth most popular game top sellers is Fallout 76, and then Fallout 4 is right behind it. So they are in the top five. I thought it would have been higher up, but
well, the problem is that there is a lot of hatred for Fallout 76, because Fallout 76 had a horrible launch. People didn't get any of the stuff they were supposed to get for the pre-order, stuff like that. But I will say, sales for Fallout games was up 7,500%. And they knew this was coming because they do have bundles on Steam, and I think it's like $50 you get all the games.
Right. No, yeah, exactly. But I thought it would have been up a little bit higher, just with the, you know, the resurgence of it. And maybe it was like last week and not this week. But yeah, no, that, I mean, it's good. It's awesome for it. And it gives it a little bit of a resurgence because the show's done so well and it's based off of the video game, just like, what is it? The Last of Us or whatnot with, yes, Mandalorian in it. And that same thing, that had a resurgence because the show did so well. So,
well, and they also, the one big thing for me was with The Last of Us, they went pretty close to the game itself. They added some things, removed some things, which is normal for this kind of thing. With Fallout, I mean, they stuck to the premise, but they don't have to stick to anything because they just stuck to the lore. That's all they had to do. And they're legitimately every single, because I didn't get too deep into it when it came out because I'm a completionist. And that's why I had to stop myself from Starfield, because I was legit spending hours on one little thing and just going and going. I have to finish it. So what ended up happening was with Fallout, I started playing it a little bit and I'm like, nope, no, nope, nope, nope. I can't do this. I'm going to get stuck playing this a lot. But all the people who love it, even the guy who created Fallout, were like, this is amazing. Everything is perfect. They stuck to the lore so well, and there's little things mixed into it that are like just call outs to the games themselves. So,
hey guys, Rachel here.
Right.
Well, whoa, I could hear that. Turn that off, Tim. You're going to get dinged on that. But no, it was one of those things where like they just did such a good job with it. It makes sense why everything is going up there. And it's 7,500%. Since the release, the sales for Fallout 4. And Fallout 4 was like the big one that everyone, Mr. Stranger played Fallout 3 actually. And I know he's gotten a couple of the games recently to play them again. But that's crazy. But what's funny is right after this shoots up, Steam's refund policy is changed by Valve to fix a major exploit. And that exploit, I believe, was you had so long to play the game before you could return it. And so what some people would do is they would buy it and then spend 2 days beating the game and then return it.
Yep. And yeah, it was. And
it was like 7 days you had to return it.
It was like, I think it's was either 2 days or 2 hours. Which is talent seal prior to the release date, the 2 hour playtime limit for refunds. Oh, will apply, but before it didn't. So the, what was it? Previously, games that were available in the early access phase on Steam wouldn't count towards the 2-hour time period, which meant users could feasibly play through an entire game and get a refund before it was released. So it was a 2-hour period. If you played it for less than 2 hours, you could refund it.
Yep.
And get it. But that early time, early release, early play time wouldn't do it. So now when you purchase a title on Steam prior to the release date, the 2-hour full really pop up. The 2-hour playtime limit for refunds will apply, except for beta testing, which is nice because it's not really a true game.
That is sketchy though, because technically, Dreamlight Valley, if you have it on PC through Steam, that is still it was considered beta for a very long time.
Yeah, I don't know, but did they call it beta was it early access?
No, they called it beta because they said they flat out, even with Speedstorm, they flat out said this is not a complete game, and unless it's specifically stated, items you may forfeit items throughout the course of the development, and they set that release date. So basically, it was a paid beta, is what they called it.
Right.
So it's kind of like Escape from Tarkov. It's technically still considered a paid beta because it hasn't fully released, kind of thing. So yeah, that's crazy because
Yep. So it says that for the beta, but the 14-day period for refunds will not start until the release date.
Okay.
So there you
which
go.
I mean
2 hours and then 14 days after.
But I've seen things like with, was it Battlefield? They started offering refunds 3 days after it came out because it was so bad. And they gave you a month to claim it. Like, you didn't have to claim it right there. Because some people do forget. Like, I mean, how many times have you and I, back in the day, pre-ordered a game at GameStop, and then we get a phone call, like, 2 weeks after it comes out. It's like, hey, you coming to get your game? And you're like, oh, I totally forgot about that.
You know? Yeah, exactly.
And I think one reason why they have to change the exploit is because everyone does it through digital now.
Yep.
You know, no one does the Steam cards, because that's actually how I used to get a lot of games. That the cheap play ones was Geek Fuel used to give you these Steam cards, and you could get the game through a physical card. And so those were, you know, technically, I think you could actually get a refund off of those because they couldn't prove you bought it or not, unless it was actually Fuel exclusive. So
at least for Speedstorm, it wasn't called beta, it was early access is what they call
early access, as you paid for. I do believe both Speedstorm and Dreamlight Valley, if you did pre-order it before a certain time, it gave you like a 2-week beta access.
Yep.
Same as Call of Duty. Call of Duty is the same thing. If you pre-order Call of Duty by a certain date, you usually get access to the beta. Not like X Defiant, which I will say, on the end of this, we'll mention X Defiant. But X Defiant, you just applied to get on the beta because it was actually an alpha and a beta mixed into one kind of thing. Right. So usually you just apply for those. You don't have to pay for them because nothing rolls over, you know. So it's just one of those things. Congrats to Steam for fixing that issue, because I know a lot of people exploited it. I did say X Defiant did send me an email. I don't think Tim, did you ever get that email?
No.
So Tim and I applied for it. We actually had a lot of fun with the game. It was a little frustrating at times. It was very Halo-esque on how the kills worked. You got killed pretty quickly. There was no regeneration like there is on Call of Duty, where your health does balance out. There's no plating on multiplayer. But it just disappeared. Like everyone was saying, if X Defiant releases today, back when it came out with the beta, they're like, it'll kill Warzone.
Yep.
Somehow, whether Activision paid them, we don't know. Something happened. It disappeared. Well, it's back. They were doing server tests. And for those that don't know, a lot of these games, like Splitgate, which was supposed to be the next Warzone killer, they have a problem where when it drops, you get so many people on the server, it just crashes the server, and then you end up, nothing great. So, yeah. Maybe it's here, maybe it's not. We don't know. We will find out soon enough. It's going to be very interesting.
Well, and now the thing is with that and how popular it was during that alpha testing and kind of beta testing. And then, hey, if they would have put it out the right time, it definitely would have. I mean, I couldn't say definitely, but would have gave Warzone a run for its money. Now it's like, okay, if you don't come out with something good or a lot better, then everyone's going to, because it's a free to play, like a Fortnite Warzone, everyone's going to download it, play it. All right. It stinks and it's done. And everyone's going back to the Fortnite and Warzone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting to me because, like you and I even said, like this could do some damage if they try hard enough. And excuse me, it's almost like they just bailed on it. Like they were just like, no, you know, it is what it is.
And yeah, it was interesting.
Didn't make sense.
Because you're not, that's going to be few and far between, especially to knock off a juggernaut like Warzone. Whether you love it or hate it, it's the big two.
It legit came out when they were having all their problems with the map, whatever that map was called before the new map came out for Al-Mazra. It was, people were not happy with it. People were like, this is not a fun map. And so, yeah, it's just one of those things where you're just like, I honestly hope that they fix some things, but they're probably not. So, good luck to them. I will play it if it does come out on regular. If it does come out like for free to play, I won't pay for it. It was a fun game to take me on mind off of how bad Warzone was at the time. But
yep,
yeah,
yep.
Now we're going to the other amusement park pile. It's actually, we have our amusement park piles are actually pretty short, which is crazy. But opening of Donkey Kong Country Universal Japan delayed several months. I know they've been testing quite a bit that jump, and they show how it works. That's pretty cool. It looks like you jump, but really you're on a fake track. So you're on a fake track and there's a real track below you and you can't see it. So it makes it look like you jump. I see them testing it because it does come down onto it. So they have to make sure the way the jump happens, it doesn't do any damage. But it's been delayed several months, which is okay for me because it means it's going to be perfect. Even though I'll probably never go to it because it is in Japan.
Right, exactly. And with that type of culture, it's more perfect. You know, they demand perfection over there. So,
oh, yeah.
And who knows, they may have ran into some technical difficulties with the ride and just how the roller coaster works. So I'm fine with it because they could delay it for 6 months, a year, and it would still be awesome because there's nobody doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it looks cool. And I know that other places are going to try it, but I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Tram crash at Universal Studios Hollywood and there's over a dozen guests. Okay, I saw this and I was like, what the heck? Like, it's damaged.
Yep.
Like, bad. Like, it looks like a tram hit it.
Yep. Yeah, 15 people were hurt, and they said it was a braking issue.
That's crazy so, to me.
Who knows what happened, but I'll tell you one thing. It's Universal Hollywood, that's in California. Let me know if OSHA has set up their RV yet back there, because they're going to be looking at it for a while.
I mean, they're going to have them, EPA, everyone's going to come crack down on them. They probably won't have tram rides for a while.
Right, yeah, and I don't know if they said that if it's closed or not.
I haven't seen anything about it.
It said, you said in the statement Sunday afternoon that the tours have resumed with a modified route. So Sunday afternoon would have been a day after because this happened Saturday night. So I'm sure they went through inspected trams and are now, because I'm sure there's an investigation or whatnot on that. So you still go on it, just modify the route.
And depending on where it happened or how it happened, they probably have a way they can get around certain things while said investigation happens.
Right.
And I'm sure the person that was involved is not driving trams anytime soon.
Right. I mean, poor guy. I mean, you go to push the brakes and whether you have nothing or very little, it's like, what do I do?
And because I can't really tell, like, did he roll down the hill? You know what I mean? Like, the way it looks like it could have rolled down that curve or it could have been hit by another tram.
Yeah, I don't know.
Don't know. So, and lastly, new Despicable Me 4 popcorn, Minion popcorn bucket at Universal Orlando Resort. They're jumping on that Disney train. Side note, did you see, let me see who it was. Who was it? Oh, Nikola Jokic. How do you say his name? He dressed like Gru. Yeah. And then somebody edited the photo to make all the Lakers look like minions around him.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, it was so good. Yeah.
And I don't think that's the first time he's dressed up like that, or at least has worn that patterned scarf. I want to say I've seen something like that before, but I could be wrong.
Well, and too bad he was overshadowed by his brother, who is a giant, who's bigger. He's the same height as him, but like built like a Mack truck, punched a fan. So, that doesn't help the cause at all. So on to the next section. We have nothing else until the regular parks pile, which first of all is Walt Disney World. We have a welcome banner, new doors and lighting installed for Tiana's Bayou Adventure at Magic Kingdom. And it is testing at night with lighting and music, which is huge because when they're testing with lighting and music, it means they're extremely close because they don't want people to record the music or anything like that and then put it out there. You know, even if it's from a distance, they don't want anyone knowing.
Right. And I think they said that they are beginning of May.
Yeah.
Soft opening. Because right now, like you said, at night, they have the lights on. Imagineers have been going riding it both day and night. There we go.
It's getting very close. We did see, like we talked about last week, the family who's going to be riding it. So I don't think they would announce it if it wasn't a couple weeks close by. So Victoria and Albert's awarded Disney's first Michelin star. I know they've been trying really hard to get stuff like this because there are some people who Michelin star stuff is destination stuff for them. So you go to a Michelin star and then you end up spending money at Disney. That's a plus for everybody.
Yeah. So. And Michelin stars has, you know, a scale of 1 to 5 on it, with 5 being the highest. And so this one, they have, has won numerous awards, including 24 consecutive AAA 5 Diamonds awards and Forbes Travel Guide 5 stars. So with
it's probably been close for a minute here to get the Michelin star.
Well, and the crazy thing is with the Michelin stars, it's not one of those things where once you get it, you have it for the lifetime of the establishment. It is a yearly thing that you have to get, or some of them it's like, oh, hey, once you get it. Yes, it is kind of a prestigious award, but it's once you get it, it's done. where this one, they go through it every year, and then Michelin has their judges, and then they give it out every year. So once it's the end of the year, well, guess what? You don't got it again, or you have to earn it again. And I didn't. I didn't know that until we were doing our taxes, and our tax prep lady said that. I'm like, huh, that's interesting. So that's why kind of Michelin is the no pun intended gold star for it, because it's, you have to earn it every year.
Yep. So congratulations to them, and maybe they get a second one the next time they come around.
Right, exactly. And if you would like to do this, say you want to go there. So they have, hold on, I want to make sure I say this right. They have a, for up to six people, can do a 3-hour culinary tour around the world, customized to your preference. And prices for the experience start $425 per guest, not including an optional wine pairing, which is $210 per guest, or zero proof pairings, which would be non-alcoholic, at $145 per guest. So there you go. And I don't think there's any cheap Michelin restaurants.
No, there's not. I think that's probably part of the criteria extremely, like, usually you have to have a certain dollar amount.
Right, exactly. And they were one of 9 Florida restaurants to earn the Michelin star.
That's crazy.
So, there you go.
Yep, exactly. Droid Depot and, Disney's Hollywood Studios will use Virtual Queue for 35th anniversary merchandise. Dude, I saw in one of those groups that you told me to join, bro, the lines for stuff is insane.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's like, I don't even know. I don't even know if it's like exclusive stuff, but it's like, it's not exclusive stuff, but it's like, I have to have it first too. That's what's really crazy. Cause you know, Disney, like they do have some stuff that's exclusive, but it tell you beforehand.
Yep. Yeah. So, I mean, if you got to do a virtual queue on merch, yeah, you know, it's going to be good.
It's going to be good, and it's going to be expensive when it gets to the secondary market.
Yes. Yep.
So, next, what I was going to say is Droid Depot and Savvy's hand-built lightsabers now require prepaid reservations for Walt Disney World only. I think the big problem they have there is like when you walk up, like when I did it, it's not cheap. And I think people, they take the reservation and then they lose that reservation, and it's a half. So it is a show. You have 3 to 4 employees manning that area. So it's not like it's just a one person selling you a lightsaber. It requires a team of people. So if they do not have a full team available because you cancel your reservation, it makes sense.
Right, exactly. And I'm surprised, at least for Savvy's Workshop, that they haven't done this before, just with how much it costs. And like you said, it's a small intimate experience where if you don't have it, and how popular it was in the beginning, where it was, you know, it would sell out quick.
Oh, yeah.
Or that you would have to put something down. So if you do cancel, that they wouldn't be completely out.
Right. Cause I mean, that's what they do with the reservations for restaurants. I don't see why they probably couldn't do that, but I'm probably assuming when they lose out on that reservation, you know, it's not a potential $40 meal. It's a $200 lightsaber.
Yep.
So,
exactly.
And ironically enough, the one thing I did love, just so people know, so I made the most elaborate hilt. Like, it actually is one of the more dangerous ones because it's got spikes on it and stuff. And one of the dudes came over, he did break character, and he's like, hey, just so you know, when you put this away, you need to remove this part because it will not fit in the bag. And I'm like, thank you. He goes, you're welcome. And he runs back behind the thing. And I was like, oh, because like he had me wait to the end. And he was like explaining to me, like, yeah, you got to pull it out. And then what you do is you put everything else in and then put that in afterwards because it just makes it too long. I'm like, oh, okay, sweet. He's like, oh, yeah, no problem. So it's like just sitting next to me on the desk right here. Country Bear Vacation Jamboree is returning for the first time in 5 years, which we were expecting a little bit, but, you know. 2024 Epcot International Food and Wine Festival dates and details announced. I do know a lot of people who have gone to our Food and Wine Festival at Disneyland complain about theirs in Disney World because it's much smaller portions, apparently. And it's not as eclectic because you got to think you can go eat around the world at Epcot, whereas California Adventure, you're just there. It's just California Adventure. So
yeah, I think they. I would say, oh, and the dates are August 29th through November 23rd.
Okay.
Kind of, that's the range that it always kind of goes in because I would love to go to it. But it's just during my busy period. Same thing with D23. Love to go to that during my busy period. Like, I cannot, like, the only time I could take time off is like if I'm deathly ill or I like have a funeral to go to type deal. But I think with the, like you were saying, with this food and wine festival, because it's an international one, you get more draw from people that have maybe adventurous palates, and the food that they do there is like legit international food. Mm-hmm. It's not any, I mean, they do legit international food already with the restaurants there.
Right.
But now with this one where you could get smaller bite-sized portions and stuff that they don't have necessarily on the menu. So, and it's a bigger space that it's in. So they have more, booths or places where you can eat and drink.
Vicinity of Epcot that you're not sitting there because you see them bring the food products in, you know, the carts and stuff, right, at California Adventure. So I mean, yep. I'm not saying it ruins the magic because I don't think anything really does, but I do think that like some people it does feel a little bit different because they're like, oh, you know, this food is not, you know, being made in the actual cart, which it's difficult. They can't do that for everything. Cause if they did that for everything, everything would take 700 days to get you your food.
Right. Exactly. And they couldn't really run it off of electricity because if you have all of those plugged in, you know, all those booths plugged in and you have the rides and everything already, I mean, it would basically all would have to be run off of like propane or whatnot. And that's dangerous in itself just to not have, you know, a strain on the electrical grid there already.
Yeah.
With it. And like you said, on some of them where depending on when you get your food, it could be, you know, warm, it could be lukewarm. Especially if it was like the last one on that batch and they just brought a new batch out. So, but I mean, for the most part, I haven't really, experienced it, and I've gone a handful of times. Has there been stuff where it's like, yeah, that just didn't taste right, or you know, something just was off? I mean, it happens. Everyone has their off day, especially where they're not making it fresh right there, mass right. produced on a little, you know, in a tough shed essentially.
I mean, I will say that when I had when I went to the Chinese New Year stuff, that food was phenomenal. And literally they were selling out everything so fast. Like you could see them just in there working as fast as they could. So yeah. Disney does not slack off on that. Well, regardless of how we present it, they do an amazing job. I don't knock them for that. It's more of, I feel like the portions are smaller there and people complain about that. Like I've seen so many videos of the joke about Disney people coming from Disney World, Disneyland for the festival. And they're like, they give you a full beer when you get it from the festival. Like usually it's just a small little sample of wine.
It's
this, yep. thing gives you a full on beer. And they're like, this is crazy. I mean, obviously you pay for it, but yeah. Next, homeless man at Walt Disney World charged with battery for forcibly shoving candy down a sheriff's deputy's body armor. That is one way to get yourself in trouble. That's for sure.
Right.
I mean, I don't know.
I almost want to see video of it, just curiosity-wise.
I mean, there's literally so much that I don't understand. Some people, like, obviously we've talked about this before. Is it really, is there really that many things going on like that? Or did we just not really see it because social media is just putting it out there? Because it, you know, it sells.
Right.
You know what I mean? It sells a lot. Because trust me, I don't remember ever hearing about as much as we do now. Like, it feels like every other day, something, even if we don't talk about it.
Right.
Tim will send me a text message and go, dude, did you see this? And all of a sudden I'm looking at it and I'm like, you know, like that video you sent me today, I'm not going to say what it is, but I didn't know they would show that on Facebook. Like, I was surprised they kept that on Facebook.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm surprised. But I digress. Parents charged with child neglect after getting too drunk at Disney World. Mother hit several times in face while children watched. Wow. Okay. And then lastly, in Florida, a teacher was arrested for indecent exposure at Walt Disney World Resort Hotel.
Not good. Got to cover up.
It makes you sad because, you know, I mean, right. People need help. People need help. On to the Disneyland pile. So Autotopia is switching to fully electric vehicles by late 2026. After the podcast last week, I did do a deep dive, and this does coincide with, I believe, Honda's contract renewal. So this was like initiated by Honda. For those that don't know, it was with Chevrolet previously, I believe. And then they brought in Honda, and they have the characters they've created for Honda to be out there. So, yeah. We'll see. They'll probably do, because they do have the ability to probably shut down one whole entire rail and dedicate that to each one, each at a time. So it'll probably take them probably, I would say, by middle of next year, they'll have some of them out there to test them out probably to see if the problems they'll have. We'll see how it goes.
Right.
They'll have to hire new mechanics completely because it'll be a completely different system. So that should be interesting. Haunted Mansion debuts first construction walls with Magic Band Plus feature. They have been hinting at these because they have these in downtown or had them for the 100th, where if you went by and waved around, the medallions would light up and do certain things. So they're trying to have fun with it. Like, the people don't know, if you ever go to the Jungle Cruise and the Jungle Cruise is shut down, they will heckle you like they do on the boat if you are bored enough. I've seen it before when Jungle Cruise was down and they had the barrier up for the treehouse. So they literally were just standing there and they'll recreate the boat ride for you right there, because they still have to be there to make sure no one goes in the ride, because it's not like someone might not try to sneak in and jump over the rope. So they have to stand there and block it if there's no barrier in front of it. So they're trying to increase the attractionness even when the ride is closed.
Right. And it's cool that you have the interactive feature of the Magic Band, because you don't really see that much interactive features in the park with it. Besides, I think the only one that I know off the top of my head is the bounty hunting one, where that uses the Magic Band for
it. Which you don't even have to use it. You can actually use just the phone too. So that, you know.
Yeah, I don't. I want to say that's a different one, but I, like I said, I can't get remember.
No, it's the same thing. So what you could do is with the Magic Band Plus, you can activate the bounty mission. And if you have the Magic Band Plus, you don't have to pull your phone out to capture the bounty kind of thing, I believe.
Right. Yeah. So, and on, like I said, for this one, for the walls, it's pretty cool where now this means on any type of attraction that could be down for any amount of time. I'm sure they're not going to do it for something that's down for a day or two,
right?
But for at least an extended period of time, you know, they could do these, and I'm sure all it is just, I mean, it's just a little puck that you put your Magic Band up to. They just reprogram that and, you know, plug and play and drop it in there, and there you go. So it's nice that they had that, especially on construction walls.
Yeah, and I mean, because the big thing you notice, like Tim and I have seen this before, like when they closed down the Big Thunder Barbecue, when something shuts down permanently like that or for a long time, and someone, you see lots of people walking away from it, or in an area just looks dead, it kind of ruins the magic a little bit. Not for me, but I know people are like, oh, this looks weird that there's nothing over there. Because even the dead areas, whether it's people waiting for the bathroom or whatnot, people are all around those areas. So this probably increased that traffic. Right. Iker Casillas was mobbed during a Disneyland resort visit. One fan tackled for shoving someone into a trash can. It was insane. It was basically, he's a soccer player, I guess. And I've never seen people freak out like that over any celebrity aside from Kobe Bryant. And they still weren't this crazy for Kobe Bryant.
Right. Exactly. I could see something like this for soccer players. I mean, you got Ronaldo, Messi, and I don't know, maybe David Beckham now, type deal. You know, people absolutely losing their mind. And on this one, I don't even know what it was. And I guess ESPN had, and Pele, because they have the soccer store, Downtown Disney, had in that new open area there where the guitar pick stage is at in Downtown Disney, where the theater was at, had a some event there. And okay, he was for that. And when he got mobbed, they took him out through backstage and see you later. And of this guy that shoving someone in the trash can, it literally happened right in front of the camera. And it almost looked like the guy that got shoved in the trash can was a part of the soccer player's posse, maybe.
Okay.
But the other one, the fan, I think he like had his shirt off and he was just like going crazy. And you see security, like when I first watched it, I'm like, what, security just came out? There's like five security guards just came out of nowhere. Then I rewatched it, I'm like, oh, okay, because it was so crowded, you just can't really see them that clear. Yeah. But it was crazy. And I bet you that would be like back in the day when Michael Jackson would go to the park and not dress incognito, but just wanted to be recognized.
Yeah.
I heard a lot of stories about that where they basically told him, hey, I know you want this, but when we tell you to go, you got to go. It's not for our safety, it's for yours.
Yeah, it was just seeing it, I was like, who is this guy? And then I was like, oh, okay, he's a soccer player, you know.
Right.
And obviously, you know, some people love soccer. I'm not a big fan of soccer. I'll watch soccer every once in a while, but it's not like I'm like, oh, yeah, I know every player. I'm just kind of like, you know, a casual fan. But these people, it was next level. And I don't think I've seen anything like that in a very, very long time regarding people at anywhere, really.
Right.
Disney parks or not.
Yep. Yep, so, exactly. Well, and week before, Kanye and his lady friend, wife, were there, and you didn't see any of that. You saw people like kind of trying to take selfies with them from afar, but there was no mobs or anything like that. And sometimes you get, you know, people in Kanye can, you know, get mobbed up.
Yeah, you know, what's funny, even with that Kanye thing too, is they even were kind of respectful. So I don't know what kind of fans these were, but I'm sure we'll hear more about them in the future, because I'm sure someone will be like, yeah, they were not happy with what happened. And, you know.
Right. And the other thing is now if you're going to do that again, how are you going to get some soccer player there? And I think this guy was like a ex goalkeeper or something. I don't think he plays right now, if I remember right. But how are you going to get somebody to come there? It's like, well, hey, so-and-so was there and they mobbed him. How are you going to guarantee my safety here? It's like, oh, well, we got this, that, and that. He's like, okay, well, you know, I'll do it, but, you know, I'm going to be really leery of it. So not that great of a look for Disney. And the thing is, like I said, they had a decent amount of security there, but I don't think they expected that.
No, that they didn't. There's no way they expected it. No, no, no way. Because, I mean, you and I both know that when they anticipate something, it's literally, if they need 4 security guards, there's 8 security guards there. So
exactly.
So that's bad on their part. So, next, parade preview of Better Together, a Pixar Pal celebration was today at California Adventure. I haven't seen any reviews yet, but they did have a media section. So they did close it down at 4 o'clock for the media to get a close look through Hollywood Land. So I'm assuming it's going to come out of that area over there because there is a backstage area, gates and whatnot.
No, for the Hollywood Land, that was for the dance party over there. Remember that was the one like they had like electronica and
Alice. Yeah, well, it was the Mad Tea Party, but they also blocked off a certain area for them to watch the parade too.
Yes, yeah, but that wasn't the one in the Hollywood Land.
Okay,
that was for like the Mad Tea Party, and then this one because it where does it come out at? I can't remember, but it goes down like the pier because they had like the first section where it came out of. Mm-hmm. Blocked off for the media, and then once it got past that, then anybody could view it.
Okay. So we'll see. And we did get an update. Pixar Fest Together Forever fireworks has debuted at Disneyland. Pixar Fest sculpture installed in Town Square at Disneyland. And we did get a first look at the Pizza Planet truck popcorn bucket for Pixar Fest 2024, which is phenomenal. It looks amazing.
Right. And the alien in the driver's seat actually comes out.
Yeah. So next, we did get an updated Star Wars Galaxy's Edge Fire of the Rising Moods fireworks show for Pixar Fest. And new Downtown Disney District directional signage is installed during reimagining, which it ties in a little bit to the Pixar Fest because whenever they're putting up and removing stuff, it seems like they kind of tag team it. So they're like, okay, right. Look, we're going to do this and this to almost like confuse you guys. So,
right. Well, and with the Centrico and Paseo opening them up downtown where Uva Bar used to be at, kind of that whole reimagining of it.
Right.
It was a perfect time to put them up.
The Disneyland Firehouse is finally reopened after months behind construction walls and scrim, which I believe it went up right before we went. So it was closed when we went in January. Themed Lightning Lane touch points installed at Ariel's Undersea Adventure. I saw these. And
which stinks because that means that basically Lightning Lane is staying at Ariel's Undersea Adventure.
Yes.
Which isn't good. I don't like it.
And then the other thing used to be a people eater. It never used to have a line ever.
Yep, exactly. And now it's got 20 to 30 minute lines, which before it was like 5-10 minutes, if that. The only, I guess you could say, good thing about this is now you go through the main entrance like you used to before. But it's both Lightning Lane and Standby. Okay. So at least you go through that rotunda type deal again. So they moved.
I like that.
Yeah.
Disneyland Railroad and Horticulture guided tours returning next month, which is amazing. And this is one Tim mentioned. So Disney has been criticized as fans expressed outrage over celebs' dress code violation, which was Kanye West's girlfriend who wore a top with no bra and. Well,
that and no shoes.
And she also, somehow all the Disney websites, the celebrity ones, they were all edited. So TMZ leaked that they were there and they edited her with a bra on. Like you could see, it was like a cutout shirt. So you could see everything, side boob, everything. And they edited it. And everyone's like, why are they editing this? Like, this is the actual photo. So I don't know if Disney got out and they're like, you know, how are you letting people like this do this? But regardless, people are not happy because they say it's not fair that a regular person will get kicked out.
Yep, exactly. Well, and especially of all the, you know, before you had all the TikTokers and whatnot. Hey, you want a free $60 Disney shirt? Here's what you do.
Yep.
And then Disney said, okay, well, hey, we gave you a free shirt. And now it's like, nope, you're either buying the shirt or you're getting kicked out. Well, don't you give them for free? Nope, not anymore. You guys ruined that. Mm-hmm. So with this, it's like, okay, well, what's going on? So now all of a sudden, this is okay in there. And especially with the no shoes, because it says in their policy that they like for your protection and shoes is in there. And she was wearing what looked like ace bandages wrapped around her feet. And I know her and Kanye have, it's a weird relationship on what they have being husband and wife. So yeah, it's interesting. So we'll see what happens. Cause I know Kanye, he's not a frequent visitor to the park. I know when him and Kim were together, they'd go more so because they had the kids. But well, and the Kardashians
And he's also I think out in Wyoming, so he's not in the area as often. Or right. North Dakota. I can't remember which one he's in.
Something like that. Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see. But it was funny watching him walk around, and then he had Dizzy. He had a plaid with him as well, and then like one or two security guards, and then he had his own security guard too. So it's funny. You see, you know, him and his old lady walking. You see the plaid in front with the security guard in front, a security guard in back, and then just like a random dude kind of like walking in between him and the Disney security guards. Like, what is that? Oh, that's his security guard.
Gotta be careful.
But like you said, everyone, it wasn't like he got mobbed or anything like that. A couple people, you know, were really respectful of that and of him. And he actually, you know, smiled and looked like he was kind of having a good time. So, you know, sometimes you don't know what Kanye you'll get.
Well, no, and I even saw the one spot I saw them is, you know, where they were, people were yelling at them saying hi, was it is in California Adventure, the area where you can go to Award Wieners, and they had that dining area to the right of it, which is kind of a big, they were standing there and the people weren't even close. They were like across by the drawing imagination lab thingy there where you draw, and they were just like, hi Kanye, we love you. And they waved and they were calm. And I was like, you know, and like you said, they weren't freaking out. They weren't going crazy or nothing like that.
Right.
So, well, that's all we have for you guys today. We want to thank you guys always for coming through and listening. We greatly appreciate it. Make sure you share with your friends, do what you're going to do. If you hear that little ringing sound, that is my dog running around the background. We do have a dog again. Very excited for that because he's a wiener dog. And
hey, but come on, man, you gotta get your dog in check there. You know, I had to get your dog in check. You gotta get your dog in check there, man.
I gotta get him in check. I do.
Jeez, he should know better.
But again, thank you guys for always coming through. We greatly appreciate it. For the FOMOcast, I'm Chris.
And I'm Tim.
And we will see you guys next time.